Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's great to welcome back to the program comedian Michael Ian Black. He is at Helium Portland. He's got a show tonight. He's got two tomorrow and two on Saturday as well. And Michael was in studio with us years ago. And he didn't like the studio. I always tease him about that. If you remember, Michael, first of all, comedians sometimes they get a little bit pushed out of shape by how they're introduced. Because with you, I can say, you know, purveyor of fart jokes, but I can also say New York Times bestselling author. So how do you like to be introduced?
I guess New York Times bestselling author of fart jokes.
Good answer. Or the Trump book, right? What was it? The Child's First Book of Trump?
That's right. Child's First Book of Trump.
How did that go? Did you get any backlash from the MAGA folks?
Just on like the Amazon reviews, where people were somehow confused and offended that I had made fun of Donald Trump, but that's to be expected.
I always think it's funny, too, when people don't, it's hard for them to separate comedy from reality and just realize, you know, satire and just poking fun at things, and it gets way too, it's been lately way too serious.
It has been, and I've been just staying away from politics in general lately just because I'm exhausted, from it. So I'm happy to talk much more about, you know, Hint of Lime Tostitos than I am about the climate apocalypse and all the rest of it.
Yeah, your Twitter used to say, you know, you were in the NFL and you had a few rings, and you changed that up on your bio.
Lately I have, yeah. Well, look, nobody, of course, people know me as a 9-year NFL veteran and 2-time Super Bowl winner, and I just don't feel like I have the need to put that in my Twitter bio anymore. So now I've changed my Twitter bio to, I've just made it a CVS fan account. So it's just about CVS, how much I enjoy CVS. And so far, CVS has not noticed.
And now you just tweet out, I have a slight headache.
Is that normal?
Yeah, I got to finish it, right? How do you find Portland? Because I always like it in years ago when I had...
what's nice is I don't have to find it. I get on a plane, they find it for me. Dad joke!
Ah, you got me. I got zinged.
Dad joke.
Zing! Michael Ian Black. When I had Ian Carmel, wrong Ian, I had Ian Carmel in here years ago, you know, when he was like 300 pounds, and now he looks great and he's engaged and I'm happy for him. But he said, because he's from Portland, and he said it's a city where people wake up and ride their bike to their job to make sustainable wind chimes.
That's a pretty good description. That jives with what I think about it, too. In my mind, Portland is the home of the funny bike. It's the place where you just see people riding bicycles in all shapes and sizes and peculiarities. That's the first place I feel like I've ever seen, like, weird bikes as just a common mode of transportation. That's how I always associated that and fancy donuts. First place I ever had really fancy donuts.
Wow. So it's like they kind of take a donut and treat it like a muffin with the toppings and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Voodoo Donuts was the place that I went to, and I don't know if they're still there, but, you know, it was like the first place that thought to combine Fruity Pebbles and donuts, and I thought, why hasn't anybody done this before?
No doubt. But for you, though, I think you could eat 100 donuts. What's the most you've ever weighed in your life? You've never been a day over 180, have you?
No. I've never been a day over 180. But, you know, it's funny when you get used to yourself at a certain weight or size and then you put on a little or lose a little, it feels abnormal. Like right now, I'm probably the heaviest I've ever been. I'm like 168 or something.
Right. I always think it's funny. I was listening to Joe List complain about how, you know, he was 175 and he felt like a fat pig and the rest of America's like, hey, you're doing fine.
That's kind of how I feel, but I've still got 7 pounds to gain to catch up to him.
And I guess it also is, now that I'm diving deeper into this, if your pants feel tight, it doesn't matter how much you weigh, you feel fat, right?
Yeah, no kidding. But it's also just like, it's also a psychological thing because I know what I've been eating and it hasn't been good.
Mm.
So, but, like, I know I'm not taking care of myself.
So during the pandemic, how could you work on a new hour? I mean, you have Zooms and outdoor shows, but, you know, you couldn't road test your new set. So how did you kind of tweak it?
I didn't. I mean, it was impossible. So it was just a question of once I was able to start getting back out, and that's what I'm doing right now, is road testing and trying new things and figuring things out and sort of keeping some stuff that felt appropriate pre-pandemic, jettisoning a lot of stuff that doesn't feel appropriate anymore or as funny or timely. And I wouldn't say I'm starting from scratch, but I'm starting from a fairly new place.
Michael Ian Black is with us, and he's at Helium Portland tonight to tomorrow to on Saturday as well. I'm always interested in comedians when they think of something, and then, of course, they have to find out if other people think it's funny, and they might ask another comedian. You might ask your spouse, what have you, and say, is this something? Can I build off of this? And so it made me think about it when one of your books, the favorite thing that you ever wrote that I just couldn't, I still laugh at it, is Billy Joel being asked by the family to play Piano Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when you're writing that, I mean, you're laughing, but then what do you do? Do you take it to an editor and say, is this something, or is this only funny to me? Like, how does that work?
I think that with that one, I was, I think I just wrote it just for fun, and then I sent it to the online site McSweeney's to see if they wanted it, and they did. So, and then I got feedback on it that people thought it was really funny, so it went in my book.
And it's also, I think, too, this weird thing where, like, you could do, like, tomorrow you have two sets, and you might kill at 7, do the exact same stuff at 9:30, and, you know, crickets. And you think, but in your mind, you're like, no, this worked on Fallon and Kimmel. I know this is funny. It's you guys. You're the problem. I mean, how does that work?
I just think it's cruel that you think I'm going to bomb tomorrow night. I mean, I don't know why you just immediately said you're going to bomb.
Hypothetically.
Tomorrow night. Oh, hypothetically.
Sure.
It's funny. I think some comedians are of the school that you just described, where they go, I know this is funny. You guys are terrible. Mm-hmm. And some comedians are more neurotic like me, where you're like, I was funny at 7 o'clock, and now I'm no longer funny as a human being and never will be again at 9:30. Like, you just blame yourself rather than the audience.
Yeah, that's the thing, like, talking to comedians as long as I have. There are some who have said, like, I'll be in the middle of my set that's on rails. I've been doing it for months. Something hits, and I think I'm the greatest comedian ever, and something does it, and then I think I'll never be funny again the rest of my life. And they ride that wave the whole set.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That you can surf that wave about 50 times during a set, you know, just going up and down and jumping on waves and falling off and almost drowning and getting back up on the board and just trying to get back to shore. I mean, that's the high wire act, to mix my metaphors, that is stand-up comedy. It is that thing of you are, you know, riding a surfboard or walking a high wire, and you have no backup. I mean, it's just you on that stage, and you have to figure out how to survive. So I think that's the attraction for a lot of comedians. I mean, just in terms of performance, I think it's about the most terrifying thing you can do. It's just it's a crazy art form, and I'm amazed that people can do it. I mean, you know, taking myself out of the equation, when I see it done well, I think it's amazing.
Yeah, I remember Craig Fitzsimmons said, you know, he's growing up, he couldn't get a girl to look at him, and all of a sudden he's on stage and he's got 40 hot women staring at him. It's a powerful thing, too.
Yeah, I mean, I always think if there's 40 hot women staring at me, it's because either my fly is down or they. I'm never thinking like, oh, these women really like me. That thought has never crossed my mind when I've been on stage. And knowing what Greg Simmons looks like, his fly was probably down.
You know, when the Bachelor was looking for a new host, I have to say I was thinking maybe Bill Tundle could have stepped
in
there.
Yeah, that's the character that I played on a show called Burning Love, which was a Bachelor parody. So I was playing, you know, a Chris Harrison type hosting that show, and it was super fun. I mean, it was super fun to just be that guy and just kind of slightly smarmy, but like, you know, having to pretend to be deeply invested in whatever's going on this show. It was really fun, and it was a funny show.
No, I brought this up with you before. That show doesn't get enough love, especially with all the great talent that was on that show and the cameos. But yeah, you played that deadly serious, just as straight as you could.
Yeah, you have to. Well, I mean, because everybody else on the show is so funny, and there were so many characters. I mean, who was on it? Like Kamel Nanjiani and Adam Scott and
Natasha Leggero and Ryan Hansen.
Leggero. Yeah, I mean, Jennifer Aniston. Is
Michael Cera.
Michael Cera. Yeah, just so many hilarious people. Kristen Bell's in it. Yeah, just great people. And my job was just to kind of react.
Yeah, you know what? I was talking to somebody in there, and they said that, Michael Ian Black, Canadian, and it's funny. I thought he's not Canadian. And I thought, I think. Do you ever get lumped in with the Kids in the Hall? You're a Chicago guy, right?
I get recognized more for being in Kids in the Hall than for being in anything that I was actually in.
So it's not just that guy, huh?
No, constantly people are like, it happened 2 days ago at the grocery store. A guy came up to me and said, "Hey, man, I love you so much. Loved Kids in the Hall." And at this point, I just say thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I guess it's better than him saying, "You were great in To Catch a Predator." And
yeah, I guess so.
All right. Anything else we should know about in the works, Michael?
Oh, God, no. 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 Hopelessly unemployed.
So you didn't learn Spanish or the guitar during the pandemic?
I tried to learn guitar, like a million other people.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out I'm terrible at guitar.
Turns out just banana bread, huh?
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Michael Ian Black. Check him out. You can go to heliumcomedy.com for tickets. And he's got a show tonight, two tomorrow, and two on Saturday down there on Southeast 9th there in Portland. And, hey, Michael, you come back to San Francisco. We'd love to have you in studio again, man.
Would love to be there.
All right. Great stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll come on back on Sports Byline.